sit right back, then you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Nice shooting, John. That's right on target.
I've been going to school for a long time, trying to find arguments and evidences to put that beagle, that HMS theory beagle that Darwin proposed, down to the bottom of the ocean. I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take a lighthearted look at the very serious issues of creationism, evolutionism, where we came from, the biblical accounts, good science. We try to put it all together, smash it and mash it and blend it in a blender.
Here's a hammer. That helps.
Do all of that and see. And the more we do that, the more we have faith in God's word, his revelation of how we got here.
And where we're, how, what's the purpose of our life and where we are going, hopefully one day soon when Christ comes. Hey, Stan, It's the holiday season.
It still is,
What's your favorite plate?
Any plate that has food on it is my favorite plate.
Not the dessert table? Doesn't matter. You're more the savory type.
Oh, man, you know, mashed potatoes and gravy, that's up there, you know. There's a lot of things.
A lot of good stuff. Yeah, but actually, we're talking about plates today.
We are talking about plates.
Near
to my heart.
Not that dear. That near.
Okay.
Not so much close to your heart as they are to your feet.
Oh.
We're talking about plate tectonics.
Oh, plate tectonics, the plates we stand
the
on.
The terra firma.
The terra firma. Okay.
There we go.
Well, back in the dark ages, I was actually at one time a geology student at
that was a long time ago.
Thank you. Let's move on. The UC Riverside campus there in Riverside, California. I remember distinctly that plate tectonics, the movement of the continental plates of the Earth's crust in relation to each other, was sort of how this big planet was moving around.
You know, people, where did this theory come from? Well, actually, if you hold a globe in your hand like I am currently.
It actually is. Hold it close to the microphone. So
I can see it there.
There it is.
Now they can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
There it is.
And when you look at it, it kind of looks like Africa ought to fit in the Caribbean somewhere. And actually, they don't even do it so much with just the visible. They also do it with the continent plates, the offshore continental shelves actually fit together than even the continents do.
Mm-hmm.
And what they like to do is say, you know what, when you look at the globe. Well, actually, let's do a reenactment, Stan.
Okay.
We're going to do a reenactment of how plate tectonics started, because plate tectonics haven't been always around. They were proposed first when? About 1960s?
About the
60s. Early
60s. Yep. It was brand new stuff when I got
it. Brand new stuff when it came out. It was like at first just poo-pooed by some sort of what they want to call pseudo-scientific imagination.
Yeah.
So I want to reenact that for them.
Okay.
Okay. I'm a scientist and I'm sitting there.
Yeah, you're leaning back.
I'm leaning back and I'm looking at my globe and I'm going.
You are. You're holding it in your hand.
That looks like it could have once fit there. I think I'm going to write a book about it. Hey, man, it's a whole new theory, man. I could make some real money
out
on this. Wow. And that's how it kind of came about.
Look at how South Americans and Africa kind of fit, man.
Man, it looks like it kind of fits. Mm-hmm. A little underneath there, a little over there. And that's how the theory got started. It's empirical. It's empirical. I saw it with my own eyes.
well, actually, you know, the very first person that saw that kind of relationship
was that some dude in the 60s?
No, back in 1859, not 1959.
Wow, right when Darwin came out with his book.
Antonio Snyder, and he was a creationist.
Scoreboard! Yeah.
And he suggested this, that the continents actually moved catastrophically during Noah's flood.
Wow.
Part of the flood was the movement of the continents in relation to each other.
Do we have any, like a torpedo text, which would even begin to support that, since we do like the Bible and we do like to purport it? Let's see. Do we have one we can put on early in our show and then talk about it?
Well, yeah. Actually, let's first of all talk about the first week of creation when God actually brought about dry land. It says in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, it says, "And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. So it sounds to me like God gathered water, and maybe the dry land prior to this was under
water.
Yeah.
So God, all the dry land was underwater. God had to do some sort of uplift or float or scattering or moving.
Something's being moved.
And we often speculated, I wonder how much dry land there was. Was it the dry land that we have today? I tend to think that the dry land today was the pre-flood seas.
Okay.
And the pre-flood, and then the oceans of today was actually where the big dry land was before.
Well, now, and that makes good sense because we know that the dry land that we are walking on right now has sedimentary rock. And
large portions of it are
almost
sedimentary.
Almost three-quarters of all rock is sedimentary rock, which means at some point the dry land had to be lower than the stuff that was around it and had to be kind of the bowl.
Washed in.
And it washed in and filled it up. And
layer after layer after layer.
Exactly. But obviously something has happened since that time, because now that's the dry land and the water has been, shall we say, like creation, gathered together in the oceans of the world.
What's interesting, Stan, and this theory can ask a whole lot more questions than it can answer, but the point is saying that, so Antonio there was suggesting that it was the cataclysmic event of Noah's flood which formed, which broke apart
the original dry land, and
formed our modern continents today, and caused us, as we look at a globe today, to come up with a theory of continental drift, or plate tectonics is the proper terminology today.
Exactly. And if you think about it, you know, the rate of movement among the continents today is, you know, 1, 2, 3, as much as 5 inches per year in relation to each other. Some are moving northward, some south and west and east. Some goes under each other, crashing together, forming mountains. Others are sliding along each other, like I'm from Shaky Town, Los Angeles, and there you have two plates that are both moving northward, one moving faster than the other, and whenever there's a little rubbing and a little
give a little spit
forward, when that happens, that's an earthquake.
Well, you know, Stan, we like to do some things. You're saying that these are moving at a rate that is kind of known, maybe as much as 5 inches a year in relationship.
Yeah, the quickness.
Well, let's start spinning the clock.
Oh, yeah.
We like to do some time analysis. Okay. How long, based on nice clock. How long does it take, you think, if you run the clock backwards, when it was all together, or what was it looking like before? Has anyone done any studies on
things? Yes.
And what does it show?
The maximum number that you have there is 100 million years at current rates.
So if
you believe in long ages, which you and I do not, but if you do believe in long ages and reasonably similar rates through time, then that would be 100 million years ago that everything was together.
But wait, don't we date a lot of the organic life even up to like almost 500 million years ago? Or when's the Precambrium layer?
Right, no, exactly, 500 million years. And so something's going on there. That doesn't give enough time for there to be land. We know land animals have been around for at least double that, a couple of 100 million years.
So wait. So
and plants and so forth. So they had to be dry land. You know, yes, you are suggesting that that doesn't work.
That at least there's going to be some conflict in theories here, or some needing to meld, or as they want to call it, the big toe, the theory of everything, to try to figure all this out. The big toe.
Well, now here's another. Let's throw the creationist spin on this and see if we can make the creationist view, a Bible-based view,
fit the facts
really well. And in that regard, let's go back to Antonio Snyder's suggestion in 1859 that the continents broke apart during the flood. Is there any evidence that that may have happened? And all you have to do is go to the great mountains of the world, like the Himalaya Mountains.
And you find something on top.
Mount Everest at the 26,000-foot level has fossilized shells.
26,000 feet up. That's either been pushed up a long way, or it used to be underwater for a short time, or at least some time.
Well, it had to be underwater, and we would say during the flood, a place where the shells were covered up by sediment, but then there had to be a huge amount of uplift. And if you look at, get your globe out and hold it in the palm of your hands there
just like
again.
Here, just like here, just like I am here.
And let them see India. You'll see that
India.
Everybody agrees that India.
They're eating some dalbat.
You've been to India.
Oh, Nepal.
Near
the Himalayas, where it's all getting pushed up.
Exactly. You either think that the Himalayas are creeping up slowly at a few inches per whatever centuries. Or maybe a lot of that took place very rapidly in a sort of a India broke apart and smashed into Asia at such force that it drove up the Himalaya mountains.
You know, when you fly in, I will say, when I was going into the Peace Corps in Nepal, when you fly into Kathmandu in Nepal and you see the Himalayas out your window, you're flying at about 25,000 feet and you're out your window craning your neck up to still see the tops of some of those mountains. You're 22,000 feet, I think we were flying in. And you're looking up to see the tops of the mountains because it's like a wall. The whole Himalayas, at least in Nepal, look like, if you're looking at the bigger picture of the topology of the land, it looks like you're just kind of cruising along the continental plain of India from New Delhi toward Nepal. And all of a sudden you hit this big wall of land on literally just huge, humongous walls. It's incredible.
It would be good to think of mountain ranges like the Himalayas as big wrinkles.
Yes.
Huge wrinkles. Collision spots where two continents collided.
Need lots of oil of Olay on that.
Yeah, take care of that. So what we would suggest is that plate tectonics are actually kind of the skidding, of the last, the still vibrations, the still movements after a big collision, separation and collision that took place during the flood. When
you have the same thing along the whole Pacific coast from Argentina up to Alaska. That whole, we call them the Rocky Mountains and the Pacific Ranges, you know.
Exactly.
The same sort of wrinkling and crushing and thing.
The movement. So the movement that we see are actually the last little echoes of the continents breaking apart during the flood.
Yeah, people need to understand that the flood, for some people, that scientists sometimes accuse creation of saying, well, just what, 40 days of rain, yeah, you have a lot of water coming down, but the flood was not a tame event.
No,
it was an event of tremendous, not only was there the top water coming down, there was the massive breakup of the waters of the deep, maybe along the Atlantic Ridge, etc. Yeah.
Yeah, John Baumgartner, who is a PhD working at Los Alamos National Laboratories in New Mexico, is a creationist and has developed the world's best, by all accounts, the world's best 3D supercomputer model of plate tectonics. Now, he believes in Noah's flood. He believes a biblical account. And he has an incredible model that shows how the continents could have quickly, it's called runaway subduction.
Yeah.
Are you ready for that? Runaway subduction, which basically means things sinking really quickly into the molten mantle of the earth.
Kind of what's happening in our world today in the area of sportsmanship. It's kind of like a runaway subduction.
A lot of that going on.
Sportsmanship is sinking real fast.
Anyway. Yes, on the arena floors of the world. But apparently, he has worked out a model that really does support scientifically how this all could have happened. And
a relatively short period of time
in just
a catastrophic event.
In days instead of millions and billions of years, in just days it could have happened and leave us with the plate tectonics model we see today as sort of the after effects of
aftermath of what's going on there. And so really, you don't have to abandon your Bible or your science or your logic or your reason at the door when not everything fits into it neatly. Don't get me wrong. There's lots of questions that this whole process brings into account that would have to be harmonized. But it seems to make logical sense of the scientific evidence.
That's exactly right.
That's what we like to do here. And then you can believe that from that, it's still okay to have faith in a God who can create, a God who says who destroyed the earth once with water, but will now come again and redeem us, those who are going to be eagerly waiting for him.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gideon's Isle.